Happy New Year, church family. I love to see this, the family getting together, the family visiting and connecting, and man, what a blessing it is to be back together, and I want to welcome you here, those who are joining us online. Welcome online. It's a good thing to begin our year as just a declaration that we're going to gather together as the family of God, whether it's here or online, and we are going to worship Jesus. We are going to bow before Jesus. We are going to focus on Jesus. We're going to obey Jesus because we want our lives to be centered in and lived upon our faith and trust in Jesus. And it's good to worship. My son-in-law, Corey, told me the greatest story over the holidays. He said, my daughter who leads worship was leading, and he was sitting out there with my two granddaughters. I guess they're kids, but primarily they're my granddaughters. And my four-year-old, he said, was just raising her hands while she was worshiping. And afterwards he said, "Will, I noticed you were raising your hands when you were worshiping. Why were you doing that?" And he said, without meeting a beat, she said, "Because I wanted God to see me." And then she said, "And because I wanted Mama to see me as well." You know, isn't that kind of cool? We're gathered here, and I don't know about you, but I want God to see me this morning, and I want to see God, and that's why we've gathered here, to see God. Happy New Year to you. This is a season for resolutions, and we're not going to talk about New Year's resolutions today, but let's just acknowledge that this is the season for resolutions. We make them throughout the year, right? I mean, okay, man, I've got to work harder. I've got to eat better. I've got to drink less. I've got to pray more. But this is the time of the year for the granddaddy of all resolutions. I mean, it's the New Year's resolution, right? And I know you've already shared what your resolution was and all that, and I'm not going to share with you what mine was because technically I didn't make one. But anyway, that's beside the point. But can we just all agree resolutions are a good thing? I mean, seriously, would you agree? I mean, they're good, right? But before you answer, in case you're thinking I'm trying to trip you up, I mean, nobody, generally speaking, resolves a bad thing. Like, my resolution this year is I want to be a little more greedy and I want to be a little more short-tempered. I want to give some people a piece of my mind more. I want to speak up. So generally speaking, can we all agree that New Year's resolutions are a good thing? Yes? I mean, for the few days that we actually keep them, they're a great thing. So I'm not bashing New Year's resolutions. I'm just saying, hey, for I know this is the season of resolutions, but I just want to set aside. I'm not saying set your resolution aside. I'm just saying let's just set aside thoughts of resolutions, because this morning I want us to just really consider something that I believe the Apostle Peter challenged the people in his day and challenges us, because the Word of God is living and active. And that is not talking about a resolution to make, but a hope to embrace. This year, I want to challenge you this morning to embrace a hope for and in 2022. A New Year's hope. I want you to start thinking about that. Yes, God bless you. Keep your New Year's resolution. It's awesome. It's great. Do it for at least another week. Come on. But I'm right now, I just want you to get in your mind, what would a New Year's hope? I'm going to embrace a New Year's hope. What would that look like? Because here, think about this. A resolution is talking about a commitment to do something, or for most of us, a commitment to stop doing something, but you get the idea. Whereas a hope is a commitment to think a certain way. Or in this case, if we're going to embrace a New Year's hope, think about a certain thing this year. So I'm not talking to you about resolutions this morning. I am talking to you about embracing a hope. And I'm going to make this statement right up front because I genuinely believe this statement. It is more important to embrace a hope than it is to make a resolution. I believe that's what the Apostle Peter says in the text that we're about to read. And I believe this as well. And I'm telling you, I believe this. Our hope will thrive long after our resolution has died. And Peter wrote to a group of people who were living in particularly dark times. They were facing persecution for their faith more directly than believers, generally speaking, face in America. It was a dark, dark time, and many people had lost their hope, even in Jesus, in the church. But instead of recommending a resolution for them to make, he challenged them to embrace a New Year's hope. I want us to read about it together. I'm going to read from 2 Peter in chapter 3, and I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And the reason I ask you to stand, I always remind you of this, because when we stand, we are saying, God, you're about to speak, and so I'm your servant. Speak, and I will listen to all that you say. Let me read this text because it's a longer text, and I want to make a few comments as I go through it. But just you track along with me, if you would, please. And thank you for honoring God and honoring His Word by standing. This is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved, in both of them. I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember. See, I'm not just making this up. This wasn't just some kind of sermon outline that I needed for the new. No, I'm saying I got this whole idea for this message from that one word, remember. Peter is saying, hey, guys, these are dark times. These are difficult days. And yes, make your New Year's resolutions, but here's the thing. I want you to embrace this hope. I want you to remember something. I want you to keep something in focus all year this year. Here's what I want you to remember. The predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through our apostles, through your apostles. Knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. He's just saying times are tough and you need a hope that you hang on to. Now the scoffers are going to say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things, this is what the scoffers say. Things are the way they've always been, and things are the way they always will be. Listen, if that's not what the scoffers are saying. They'll say, where's the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. Peter says, bull. For they deliberately overlook this fact, that the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. Things aren't the way they always were because this world wasn't always here. And he goes besides that fact, and that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. Let's not forget that God not only created the world, he once destroyed the world with water. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire. The way things are is not the way things always shall be, because God's going to destroy this earth one day with fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. If you're wondering why things hadn't changed already, why Jesus hadn't come back, why Jesus hadn't made all the broken things unbroken, it's because you and I operate on a different time schedule than God. And the Lord's not slow to fulfill his promise. He's not delaying, as some count slowness, but he's patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. There's a reason why Jesus hasn't come back yet. But the day of the Lord will come, mark it, mark it. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? In light of the second coming of Jesus we ought to live a holy and godly life, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. Aren't you glad you came this morning? Now listen to this next verse. But according to his promise, what are we waiting on, church? We're waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Our hope is alive. Amen? Amen. God bless you, church. Go ahead and grab a seat, and we're going to dive into this text, because I want you not to listen to a New Year's sermon. I want you to embrace a hope. I'm asking you to live with your hope in focus. Live with your hope in focus this year. So let's dive in. You ready? Notice how he starts. Remember the predictions of the holy prophets. Now, he's talking about the prophecies in the Old Testament. He's going, here's what I want you to remember. Here's the hope that I want you to embrace. All you got to do is look at the prophecies of the Old Testament. And I don't know about you, but I'm halfway sarcastic. Okay, I'm a lot sarcastic. So I read something like that and I'm going, Peter, could you help me out a little bit? Because the Old Testament prophets predicted a whole lot of stuff. They predicted the downfall of Israel and the birth of Jesus. They predicted the judgment of God on the unrighteous and the blessings of God on all who trust in and follow God. So I'm like, Peter, which predictions do you have in mind here? I want to embrace hope, but what hope are you talking about? I mean, there's a whole lot of predictions in the Old Testament, but he doesn't stop there. He says, I want you to remember, I want you to embrace, I want you to keep in mind, keep in focus the predictions made in the Old Testament and, do you see this, the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. So it's the predictions of the prophets and the commandments of Jesus. He said, therein lies your hope that you and I can embrace, hopefully will embrace before this day is done. But I'm going, okay, Peter, you're being too general here. You know Jesus said a lot of things. Like, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar. Turn the other cheek. Pray for your enemies. What commandment of Jesus do you have in mind? I want to embrace the commandment of Jesus as my hope. But you got to help me out here a little bit. Which predictions, which commandments are you talking about? Peter tells us in verse 4. They, who's they? Scoffers. Those who were the enemies of those who follow Jesus. The real they is Satan and demons, for flesh and blood are not our enemies. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? Ever since fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of the creation. Things are the way they always were, and things are the way they shall always be. How foolish of you Christians to think that Jesus is going to come back. Do you realize they made fun of Christians in the first century and said, you guys are so dumb, you are worshiping a dead man. And you're just telling everybody you believe he's alive. And now you're going to tell me you not only believe this dead man's alive, you believe he's going to come back and he's going to do something unique and different and he's going to remake this world and he's going to make all the broken things unbroken. You guys have lost your minds. That's what they're saying. How foolish to hold on to the hope of the return of Jesus. But make no mistake about it, that is the hope that Peter is talking about. The hope that the Old Testament prophets predicted and the hope that Jesus commands us to hold on to. See, our great hope is that Jesus is going to come again. And when Jesus comes again, he's going to create new heavens. He is going to create a new earth. And guess what? Jesus is going to dwell on this earth. And we will live with Jesus just like Adam and Eve walked with God in the Garden of Eden. And we will be with Jesus and we'll walk with Jesus and talk with Jesus. And we'll still worship Jesus, but we won't do so with our eyes closed and worship Jesus. Just in faith, we will worship with our eyes wide open, looking into the full, wonderful face of Jesus. See, that's our hope. And Jesus is going to come back. And when he comes back, he's going to live here with us, and we're going to live with him, and we're going to be in a face-to-face encounter. And not only that, when Jesus comes back, he's going to defeat the enemies of God, Satan and demons, and all who have rejected Jesus, to put it bluntly. No one who rejects Jesus will survive the second coming of Jesus. That's what we believe. See, Jesus is coming again. And when he comes, we're going to dwell with him. He's going to defeat the enemies of God, and he's going to establish justice on earth. That means when Jesus comes back, he will make all of the broken things unbroken. He will establish justice and righteousness. There will be no poverty. There will be no oppression. There will be no disease. There will be no COVID. Amen. Do you know you will never, unless you want to for some reason, and Jesus says, cool, you're not going to wear a mask in heaven. Amen. I mean, doctors are not going to be needed in heaven. I know some doctors who are going to make it there, including my doctor, but they're not going to be needed in heaven. See, he's going to establish righteousness on earth. God's kingdom, guys, is out of this world. But make no mistake about it, God's kingdom is very much coming to this world. Do you believe that? Say amen if you believe that. You believe the kingdom of God is coming. You want to live with hope in 2022? I'm asking a real question. Don't just hear this as a sermon. Don't just sit there thinking, oh, man, do you think he'll end early enough for us to catch the Cowboys kickoff? Of course not. Tape that stuff. Come on. This is 2022. So now, check this out. Do you want hope? Answer the. I mean, think about that. Do you want to live with more hope in 2022? I really want you to think through that question. If you want hope, focus on the day that Jesus shall return. I'm not making this up. That's right out of the text. You see it. Peter's the one that said, remember the predictions of the prophet. Remember the commandment of Jesus. They predicted the coming of the Messiah. And Jesus commands us to pray, thy kingdom come. He commands us to live with the second coming of Jesus, the imminent return of Jesus in focus. And if you want to have more hope, then focus on the day when Jesus shall return and he shall make this new. And the Garden of Eden will be spread over the entire earth. Focus on the day when broken things shall become unbroken. That's what Isaiah and the prophets predicted. Listen to this part, this prediction, I should say, from the Old Testament. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government, he's not going to stay a baby. He's going to grow up and he's going to reign as King of Kings, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. You're going to be walking along, and half the time you're going to say Jesus, another half the time you're going to be going, Wonderful Counselor. Because he is so wonderful, and his every word is like sweet morsels to your soul. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, you're going to be overwhelmed by his power. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and of peace. You want more hope? Look forward to the time when Jesus returns and peace reigns over the whole earth. There will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice. Look forward to the day when justice shall rain down like the waters and with righteousness. Look forward to the day when righteousness will reign over this world, every nook and cranny, every corner. From this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. See, the Old Testament prophets, you want hope in 2022. Embrace the hope that the Old Testament prophets predicted. God is coming. The King is coming. Embrace the hope that Jesus commands us to embrace. Did you know the New Testament is just full of the second coming of Jesus Christ? I read in one commentary these stats that just blew me away. 23 of the 27 books in the New Testament speak explicitly of the Lord's return. Of the four that do not, they still speak of the Lord's return indirectly. Galatians is one of those. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. And that's not explicitly talking about the Lord's second coming, but it is indirectly talking about it. When do you think the day of righteousness shall come? It is when Jesus sets foot on this planet and reigns as King of Kings and defeats his enemies and reestablishes justice on earth. Second John is one that doesn't speak explicitly of the return of Jesus, but it speaks of a believer's future rewards when Jesus returns. As a matter of fact, in the 266 chapters of the New Testament, there are over 300 references to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, make no mistake about it, commands us. Jesus does not command us to make a New Year's resolution. Our New Year's resolution is good. Yes, they're a good thing. Keep them for one more day. But Jesus doesn't command us to make a New Year's resolution. He does command us to embrace a hope. And it is the hope of his second coming. Where do I see that? Well, it says it in Revelation. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who holds on to this hope. Blessed is the one who embraces this hope in 2022. Blessed is the one who embraces the hope of the imminent return of Jesus. So you got to understand a little bit of background, and I've alluded to it. A little bit of background to the people that Peter wrote to. They faced intense persecution. The world is saying, you guys believe in a dead man. And now you're saying this dead man's going to come back for you? And there were even false teachers in the church going, guys, come on, seriously. It's been a couple of decades, maybe three decades now. I used to believe Jesus was coming back, but now I'm not so sure. I think maybe we misinterpreted that part of Jesus' words. False teachers in the church going, I'm not sure Jesus is really going to come back. And so all scoffed. How did they scoff? We just read the text. They're scoffing, saying, where's the promise of his coming, you dummies? You still believe in that kind of fairy tale? But the early church believed. The early church believed. The early church embraced the hope. The early church believed that Jesus would actually return in their lifetime. Paul alludes to this even in 1 Thessalonians. Then we who are alive, it's talking about alive when Jesus comes again, when Jesus comes back, who are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And they're thinking that's going to happen in their lifetime. But over time, a decade goes by, two decades, three decades. And so even the early church, even the followers of Jesus, when Peter was still alive, had begun to doubt. I don't know if Jesus is really going to come back. And they began to be discouraged. Maybe the world really is the way it always was, and maybe the world is the way it always shall be. Maybe this world's all we got. All of its brokenness and all of its pain, maybe this is just the way it's going to be. And in the face of such discouragement, Peter doesn't say, I know what'll cheer you up. A New Year's resolution. No, he goes, guys, if you want to experience hope in 2022, here it is. Embrace the hope of the imminent return of Jesus. Live with the hope in mind. In other words, keep your eyes on Jesus or you will lose your hope in Jesus. But I think it's fair for us to say, wait a minute, Peter. If after two or three decades, they're already becoming doubtful about the second coming and they're discouraged about the second coming, shouldn't we be more doubtful after a couple of millennium? Shouldn't we be more discouraged? Why should we be hopeful that Jesus is going to come back? If they'd started to give up on it after 20 years, surely we should be giving up on it after 2,000 years. Why should we, Peter, live with the hope of the imminent return of Jesus in mind? Listen to Peter's response to them and us. Don't overlook this fact. One with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. Translation. If Jesus said he's coming soon, take that to the bank, he's coming soon. But understand, when Jesus says he's coming soon, his timetable is different than your timetable. See, God created time. He doesn't exist solely within time. See, God exists everywhere at once. And so he creates time and he lives within time, but he also lives outside of time. And Jesus is not bound by your watch. He's not bound by your calendar. He's not bound by your concept of what soon means. A day is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is as a day. Let me illustrate. Imagine a child got a doll for Christmas, and it's one of these talking dolls, and the doll is programmed to say, I know, dumb, but just work with me here. I'm trying to make an illustration, okay? And so the doll is programmed to say, hey, so glad you're my keeper, parent. I don't know what dolls say these days, but anyway, and just to let you know, here's how to take care of me. I need breakfast at 7 a.m. sharp. I'll take my lunch at noon, and I'll take supper at 6, evening snacks at 8:30. Please be on time. Now, I mean, dumb illustration, but does the child operate on the doll's timetable? Let me just finish the illustration. Let's say the child pulls the doll out by the hair of the doll's head about 3:30 in the afternoon, and the child decides it's time for breakfast, and I'm going to make some eggs and some bacon and some orange juice, and I'm going to serve my doll breakfast. Who decides when breakfast is coming? Does the doll decide or does the child decide? Child decides. Because the child doesn't operate on the doll's schedule. The doll operates on the child's schedule. Now, with that in mind, you need to understand Peter saying God creates time and we fit within God's time frame. Jesus said he's coming soon. So mark it down, take it to the bank. Jesus is coming soon, and Jesus will define what soon means. And in the meantime, you and I are to live with the hope of the imminent return of Jesus in mind. But I think it's fair to ask, and I believe the people asked Peter in that day, the people to whom he wrote. Okay, Peter, days, 1,000 years, 1,000 years a day. Okay, we operate on God's time. God gets to define what soon is. But Peter, why the delay? Why is Jesus waiting 20 or 30 years? Why is Jesus waiting 2,000 years? Why the delay? Peter's going, glad you asked. Shows you're listening. He said, you got to understand something. The Lord's not slow to fulfill his promise to return. As some count slowness, but he's patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Whoa. You know what he's saying? Guys, Jesus loves everyone. Even the person you don't love, even the person you hate, Jesus loves the person that you never even heard their name from India. That person that you've never even heard of, will never meet in China. That person in Russia, the terrorist in the Middle East that just wants to kill you. Jesus loves that person. Jesus loves the person who is on death row. Jesus loves the one who is a member of a gang. And Jesus is saying, guys, it is not my desire that anyone should perish. So cut me a little bit of slack if you don't mind, if I delay my coming while I convict and woo and try to draw more into my family. We had our family together this past holiday, and even my daughter who lives up in New York came down with her boyfriend, and we were all together, and I'm telling you, there's just something amazing when the whole family is there. We still enjoy getting together when someone can't be there, but when someone's not there, when someone is missing, you know what it feels like? It feels like someone's missing. It feels like it's incomplete. And what we do is we gather around, and whomever's missing, we start talking about how we miss them and all the funny things they've done, because we just want our whole family together. And God is telling you and me, I am a big God and my kingdom is big and I want my house full. So cut me some slack. If I delay the party in eternity, the marriage supper of the Lamb, If I delay coming back and making all of the broken things unbroken, cut me a little bit of slack because I'm just doing it because I want my house to be full. Now let's say that you embrace this morning what we've talked about. And you go, yeah, that makes sense. New Year's resolutions are great. But I need to embrace a New Year's hope. And I'm going to do that. I don't have a clue how to do it, and I'm not sure what he's meaning, but I'm going to do it. Doggone it. I came to church today. I'm going to do this. I'm going to embrace the hope of the imminent return of Jesus. What good is that going to do you? What difference will that make in your life in 2022? Peter tells you. He says, number one, if you live with the imminent return of Jesus in mind, you're going to live a more holy life in 2022. You'll live a more holy life. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, if you keep in mind, you know what? The world that you see is not the world that will be. All these things are going to be dissolved. What sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? In other words, the more you live focused on the fact that Jesus is returning soon, the more you're going to live like Jesus. The less time you spend thinking about Jesus, the less you will live like Jesus. You spend time focused on the imminent return of Jesus, you're going to live your life more like Jesus. You're going to live a holier life this year. Second thing, you're going to live with a greater hope. You know, that's kind of circular reasoning. If I embrace the hope, I'll have more hope. Come on, Gary, you can do better than this. No. I want you to let that thought sink in. You're going to have more hope. See, the darker our world gets, the brighter the kingdom of heaven looks. Amen? And the more you are focused on the world that is coming, the sharper the picture becomes in your mind. You begin to realize, you know what? I am about to live in a world that is filled with justice and righteousness, and nothing is going to be broken. It's a world of peace and joy. It is a world of trees and flowers and birds. It is a world that is perfect. It is a Garden of Eden world. The more you focus on that, the more hopeful you will be, and the less the things of this world that are extremely frightening will frighten you. Yes, we are concerned about the polar ice caps melting. We are concerned about the next shot to survive the next pandemic. And all of those things are frightening things. But the more we understand that the way the world is not the way the world always will be, that Jesus is coming soon, the less we fear the things of this world. Because there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. The more we focus, the less we fear, and the more hope we have. So here's what I'm inviting you to do. Very simple. I'm going to invite you to embrace the hope of the imminent return of Jesus. You go, Gary, be quiet. I know how to do that. I'm going to tell you. For 1 week. Why only 1 week? Because you wouldn't do it for a year, or I'd say this year, every morning. So just 1 week. And if it works, then you'll do it 2 weeks and 3 weeks. But for 1 week, I'm going to ask you every morning to start your day the way John ended his letter to the seven churches. How did John end his letter to the seven churches? Let me read it to you. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. John writes, he who testifies, that is Jesus. So Jesus says, surely I'm coming soon. And then John prays, amen, come Lord Jesus. And I'm going to ask you every morning to just begin your day just like that, to begin your day saying, Jesus, you promised I am coming soon. So Jesus, I'm praying right now. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Would you pray that prayer with me right now? Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. You can do better than that. Pray it with me, church. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. That's how you live with the imminent return of Jesus. Amen. In mind. Live with the imminent return of Jesus in mind. Now let me say one other thing. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, your hope will not outlive you. Your hope will die with you. You need a hope that outlives you. And your only hope is to trust in Jesus. See, the imminent return of Jesus is not good news for those who have rejected Jesus. It is very bad news for those who have rejected Jesus. But you don't have to live 2022 rejecting Jesus. The fact is, Jesus is the king of a very real kingdom. He died on a cross in your place. He's already paid the penalty for your sin. He rose again. He's already conquered death for you. And what he invites you to do is to repent of your sin. Repent of rejecting his authority over your life. Rejecting him as your king. Believe in him. Trust in him. Place your faith in him and follow him. Just confess him as the Lord of your life. Jesus, you're my king and I'll follow you in 2022. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you call upon Jesus to be your savior and your king this morning, I'm telling you, he will save you, and then you can embrace the hope of the imminent return of Jesus. So here's the thing. We're closing the service. I'm going to pray. You're going to be dismissed. But if you want to know more about trusting in Jesus, I'm going to make my way, and others will be right there at the Next Step room. I'd love to talk with you. Someone else will talk with you. You need somebody to pray for you today. You want to talk about church membership. Whatever it is, if there's a next step you just want to talk to somebody about, right there at the Next Step room is the place to go. I'm going to pray, and after I say amen, listen, I just want you to know, I pray you have a great new year. Thank you for being here today online. Thank you for being here in person. God bless you. I pray you embrace the hope of the imminent return of Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the promise that you're coming again. Thank you, even Jesus, for the commandment for us to embrace that hope, for us to actually pray, thy kingdom come, for us to pray, amen, come, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that every morning, every single one of us will just begin our day with that prayer, amen, come, Lord Jesus. I pray this in your holy name, Jesus, amen. God bless you. Have a great week and a wonderful new year.